we must return to our God.
If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me.
Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you even with a sore destruction. We do not have much time.
You think about that.
Think about it. The world's idea of Christianity is become a plague of sleep upon us. It's become a sickness. It's a wretched disease. Repent if you're still hearing his call, and come clean with your lives. You've got to give it up. It's got to be one side of the road or the other. It's got to be broad or it's got to be narrow. Get on that narrow way or walk away. Getting tough?
It ain't over till it's over.
Crucify yourself. Yeah.
Now don't tell me that's not loving.
Get on your knees. That's where your power is. Count the cost of surrender after true conviction of your sins and mortality.
Humble yourselves again, saints. Humble yourselves again and lose yourselves that you might gain Christ. Keep forgetting yourselves.
Count the cost of crucifying yourself daily. Count the cost of being true, suffering defamation, spite, and rejection.
Our lives must decrease that God's life may increase. The decrease is by humility and surrender, love of God and obedience to his commandments.
Think about it.
It's self-crucifixion.
Count the cost of forsaking the world and the flesh.
Your passions, your flesh, your desires, your hopes even in the world.
We have no hope in this world.
We have a blessed hope. To see Jesus Christ at the end of our journeys.
Count the cost of dying before your very eyes as a reasonable sacrifice to God your Father, like his Son did.
And I'll tell you something. Unless we take seriously the example of a totally emptied and humbled Jesus Christ, our Christianity amounts to nothing more than spilled milk and spoiled meat.
Think about it. Complete your journey. May it end in life.
Count the cost of seeking the riches of Jesus Christ. Before you go calling yourself a Christian,
discern the woof woof.
Come on. Isn't that some of you?
Dogs, dogs, dogs.
Now don't tell me that's not loving.
The fruits are evident. How are you walking?
You're dirty, Ace.
And I know plenty of liars. And you wouldn't know a fiery dart if you sat on one.
Boy, we hate to hear this, don't we?
And few there be that preach truth. And few there be that are chosen, and few there be that find life.
The spirit of every man for himself governs men's and women's actions today.
Enemies of the cross.
Our leadership is yoked to self-gain and expediency and rendered impotent by their own lusts. They set a fine example of trust and integrity to the public. They're building the cages for us, and all we gotta do is hand them the keys.
Enemies of the cross.
Your paths are crooked. Brethren.
It's a mess out there, saints. It's a mess.
And crooked paths make for large wrecks.
It's way too simple for some of us to stand alone. To stand alone and look the truth square in the eye.
How about you?
Piece of cake, isn't it, this Christianity thing, folks? Piece of cake.
Let them sleep their sleep of death.
Go for it, folks.
Abomination.
Ooh, nice phylacteries. I'm impressed.
Abomination.
The famine continues, and the darkness deepens, so be it.
Now don't tell me that's not loving.
We have to discern the spirits. We have to test the spirits.
Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Psalm 127:1.
Enemies of the cross.
Enemy of the cross? Make no mistake, compromisers in Christ. It's a tight fit down that narrow way, and no baggage of this life will ever get through.
God, you weak-minded men and women out there, you're trying to build a salvation, you're trying to build a walk based on what you can do, and you are nothing. You're nothing in the eyes of God, and you should be falling on your faces every time you recall him calling you into his marvelous light.
Chew on that one for a week.
But you don't, do you?
The flames of trial and tribulation lick the sides of this way, and you propose to drag your worldly idols through unscathed? Your baggage will condemn you. Your vain folly will destroy your souls.
There's nothing pretty about it.
The seed seems to have been sown to thorns in many lives.
Persecution? For what, I ask? For what, church? What are you being persecuted for? The high cost of living?
We sick, perverted liars care nothing for the true cost of living that was paid in full at the cross. We've put another king in our hearts. Think about it. We've placed another king before us. Not God.
The pulpits of the congregations are filthy cesspools full of treason against the sovereign God. They shall never be purged until God's fire purges them, but by then it will be too late for them to repent.
They're drunkards drunk on their own power trips.
A drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up, for it is the land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols. As a nation and a people, we have placed idols before our God. We've stacked them to the sky, around us, and in our hearts. We are truly mad with them.
Don't tell me that's not loving.
They've become the blessings we seek, not the Lord. They want your money. Because the bottom line in life is short-term profit. The spirit of every man for himself governs men's and women's actions today.
Fast and easy. Broad is the way. And it is choked with those like you within the sound of my voice. Oh, foolish, foolish Jerusalem.
We are esteeming men over God and Jesus Christ. If we've turned to men as our final authority, we're walking into hell backwards. You think about that. Our preachers today aren't meek, are they? They must ascend to their grand pulpits overlooking their own personal whoredoms and be clad in the finest clothes, impeccably dressed.
Abomination!
Our female Polly the preachers must have the most seductive yet conservative close-fitting dress, if you call it that.
Abomination!
They gotta writhe with the spirit and drive her congregation wild with her pornographic body language and antics, all the while spouting pieces of truth.
Repent!
Sweet.
Our churches are more important to us. Our compromise completes us. Darkness fills the temples of God, and Satan sits in the high seats of these temples. Our bodily temples. 1 Corinthians 3:16.
There's something conspicuously absent from the sundry personas which peel like old billboard paper from the facades that many have constructed in order to take on the look of a Christian.
Dung!
First of all, those with real eyes can see through the poser wardrobe and discern the monsters behind these facades of counterfeit righteousness. And I do mean monsters. You know, these guys shoot the wounded witnesses and they get them underground as soon as possible.
Show me your love, you smiling, two-faced hypocrites!
Well, I'm a voice from the grave, then.
God himself came to a depraved world, and what does he receive as his reward for his suffering? Gospels of prosperity, gospels of secret raptures, gospels of fast and easy salvation without repentance and a turning away from sins. This is his reward.
But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, and his blood will I require at the watchman's hand.
Name his name and live in your sins. Wallow in your sick, deluded beliefs.
Don't tell me that's not loving.
We have ordered our calamity. We have chosen our judgment, and our vile affections toward ourselves and the things of this world are we embrace in the sight of a holy God.
You ought to be ashamed.
Serious stuff.
Sorry.
Welcome to the show.
What delusion did God send some of us is my question. But no work could ever be accomplished to receive initial salvation. This is the fatal error, the false doctrine of salvation that the wolves have precipitated upon the many. Cheap grace, easy Burger King salvation, membership in a church,
And then stagnation and spiritual death.
Deer in the headlights. Get hit.
For the times are perilous and the stench of hypocrisy in God's church rises to mingle with the very clouds of war, deception, and the calamities that beset us in this world today, now.
Well, we know we're in the last days. Do you?
Our preachers must have perfect hair and perfect teeth, perfect complexion, great makeup, the right rings and watches. They can't be seen as lowly and dirty and ill-clad as the apostles or even the master himself. No way. It has to be perfume and makeup, not meekness and sobriety.
You're dirty.
Today's purveyors of the gospel show absolutely no works with meekness, as James states. They salivate from behind their cosmetic dental work and watch with hungry anticipation as the lies they propagate bring forth the mammon they lust after. Simple.
Nice phylacteries.
And we all know by now that the bottom line from Sunday to Sunday is short-term profits, not keeping one soul, nor the souls of the flock.
Whited sepulchers. Yeah, and you know some.
Same goes for the TV angels of light. Working under those hot lights works up a sweat. How can we not reward these petty little clowns with gobs of mammon for their fine theatrical performances? Whip us up into a frenzy. We gotta feel that faith.
You're dirty, Ace.
Have we gone wrong? And the swine out there are casting their earthly pearls to the swine, as far as I'm concerned.
Abomination.
So we won't find much in the way of meekness from this crowd. Oh, and much less is accounted for righteousness and meekness to the crowd that these fine-smelling hucksters have deceived, either.
Abomination!
Well, let the dead bury their dead. They hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward, and not forward.
Where is the repentance? Where is the separation to God? Damnation for the God-hater and the hater of the truth, the lover of himself. Damnation!
It has been the downfall of Christianity to have merged the gospel of peace and reconciliation with the errant thought of the need to make war in God's name to fulfill his purpose.
Think about this, saints.
All that men have succeeded in doing is spreading disease and death, amassing wealth at the expense of those he has vanquished, and furthered his own blood-stained agenda under the sign of the cross and by the point of the sword. This is not Christianity, nor is it a gospel of peace. This is insanity, born of compromise for profit.
Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Luke 16:15.
We are told that Christianity is spreading across the globe. I tell you, it is the cancer of false doctrine that spreads across the globe. I tell you, it is the sore plague of blindness that spreads across the globe. It is a prayer and a handshake Christianity. It is a corruption which damns souls to hell. And we cannot change it, nor halt its spread.
You have earned the rebuke of the Lord, buds. Nothing more, nothing less. And few there be that preach truth, and few there be that are chosen, and few there be that find life.
And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness.
We must return to our God.
I bid you repent.
Your finding life is contingent upon your striving, enduring, agonizing, holding fast to the word, living it, putting God first.
Is a cross just a byword these days? Another label? Something hanging from a chain on our neck? Or is your flesh nailed to it daily? Is your cross a thing which involves rhetoric or exclusion as it suits you?
Getting tough?
Or does it have the meaning and weight that Jesus gave it by his actions? He told you to take it up, saints. You seen it lately?
You should be reading about the salvation of desperate sinners, not glued to that God and I might add damned television. There's nothing godly or edifying on that television. Nothing.
Don't tell me that's not loving.
And that crap we call news out there is an affront to sane thinking human beings. You should be praying for wisdom, not a chance to prove the size of your brain, oh ye of so little faith.
Getting tough?
I rebuke you.
I could give a flying rip.
Is knowing the sequence of prophetic events gonna save your souls? Is knowing who the Antichrist is gonna save your souls?
I'm impressed.
Why don't you study about surrender, obedience, long-suffering, godly sorrow, and holiness?
Boy, we hate to hear this, don't we?
Oh, but I know the real meaning of the colors of the horses and the 144,000 and the name of the man of perdition. But I don't know the first dang thing about humility, nor do I care about multiplying my talents or adding to my faith.
Who are these guys jiving with their cosmic debris?
Hey, let me tell you something. Salvation is profound. Grace is profound. The Spirit of God is profound. The fact that your eyes, minds, and hearts are buried in constant informational amusements is utterly and disastrously profound. A complete travesty.
What a travesty.
We've got problems. It is an affront to the simplicity of Christ, the gospel. It is a clear danger to your souls. This is communion with frivolity. This is spiritual insanity. This is vain, willful compromise.
But God is not your first priority. You're dead.
Your communion is not with the devil or his ways, nor his conspiracies. To hell with them. Your communion is not with every Benny and Pat and Polly that comes along with some new twist on an old rope. That rope is gonna hang you if you're not careful. You'll shipwreck your faith and you won't even know it. Your communion is not grape juice and crackers and form and pious words.
But God is not your first priority. You're dead.
The children of a lesser God have split the atom, broken the genetic code, conquered the skies. And the price we'll pay for this arrogant vanity is fire.
There's a fire coming!
The point of no return is behind. And especially for those of us who have forsaken wickedness by the power of Jesus Christ. As blue as the sky may be, there's a veil of darkness woven into the fabric of the realms we war in.
There's a fire coming!
As bright as the stars may be at night, there's no real light penetrating the black hearts and blinded eyes of men.
Repent!
There are few answering God's call to His Son, and fewer holding fast to the faith of Jesus Christ they had received. Conversely, multitudes are saved into the false faith. Churches are become the places where the tares are being stored, as I have said.
There's a fire coming!
Churches have become the object of worship, the center of life. Jesus stands on the outside, looking in upon those who have chosen another Jesus to follow.
Repent or perish.
Read Jeremiah 12:10. The fields have become deserts. The vineyards are trampled, folks.
Repent!
Cast out your idols. Separate yourselves to your God. We are nothing in the eyes of God outside of His mercy. Outside of His Lamb, Jesus Christ. The real Jesus Christ. The humble servant, the mighty judge. The living paradox. If we can lay eyes upon our treasures, then they're not laid up in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not the time for compromise. This is the time and season for complete repentance, a turning from all iniquity and falseness. This is the time and season to seek refuge in God without fear.
We do not have much time.
His long suffering will end. This is the time and season for judgment, and His long suffering is coming to an end. And where will you end up?
Everyone who professes Jesus Christ as their Lord and walks the broad way is reprobate, disqualified, Romans 1:28. They may have been washed once, but in their efforts to pamper their skins or save them, they've returned to their old vomit, 2 Peter 2:22. If one retains God in their knowledge, they couldn't possibly walk any but the narrow, forsaking the world totally in thought and deed. So how's your faith? Your faith won't work when you're grubbing in the slop troughs with the ungodly and sinners to make your lives a bit better, more secure, or to be like the proverbial Joneses next door.
Where will you end up?
Have you placed another king in your hearts? Remember 1 Samuel chapter 10? And ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations, and you have said unto him, Nay, but set a king over us.
And madness is in their heart while they live, and after that, they go to the dead.
Getting tough?
How can we call a man of God, when he can't head up his family with Christ's loving but absolute authority? Lots of them out there. How can we respect him when he cannot control those under him in his ministry?
No compromise will be tolerated in Christ, future or present.
How can we respect fear in self-professed in-command liars?
And I know plenty of liars.
How can we trust photogenic smiles meant to prove their sincerity?
Boy, we hate to hear this, don't we?
How can we respect beggars with PayPal accounts? Huh? And don't send me any suggestions.
Don't tell me that's not loving.
Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. James 4:8.
Don't tell me that's not loving.
Don't you know that friendship of the world is enmity with God?
We suffer the cold grief of the reality that the few are becoming even fewer in these perilous, God-rejecting days.
There's a fire coming.
Your life must fit into God's will, not the other way around.
We do not have much time.
One part of the world bloats itself with cheap soap operas, glamour, and fast food, while another buries headless bodies amidst the constant wail of grief, the sounds of chaos and war in the background.
Can we say that this nation is yet a godly nation in which we live? I don't think so.
One part of the world basks in opportunity and wealth, while the other teeters on the brink of starvation. One part of this world has the luxury to dream of a bright future, while another stares into the stark reality of the constant need to find food from day to day. This is parity? Equity?
The fruits are evident.
Minds have been raised up in place of the fear of God. Minds and literary reasonings, semantics, they're the way to salvation today. Signs and wonders take precedence over quiet, secret prayer and communion with the Father of creation. Do we not remember that our minds are stumbling blocks before us and God? Do we not remember that our minds must be yoked into submission to God? What, are your hands tied? Or do you fear? You weak-minded sheep.
Boy, we hate to hear this, don't we?
How are you walking?
I'm glad I'm in the wilderness.
I say follow a man and perish.
Oh, I'm saved. Hi. Hi, I'm a Christian. That's a bad word. I'm saved. I'm going to glory. I'm going to be raptured.
You stinking cowards are so afraid to die. You want to be raptured.
We today have made Jesus Christ's name to be associated with liars and thieves and anarchists and whoremongers and drug addicts, pedophiles, adulterers,
sorry,
witches and warlocks. And these that I've just mentioned, these are they in leadership of the so-called church today. Kitchen table ministries, pimps in the pulpits. I ask you, saints, what sits in the pews? And what lurks in your hearts?
Follow the Pied Piper pooches into destruction backwards, folks. Woof woof.
Their world or God's world? Light or darkness? One master, one road, folks. Broad or narrow? It's your choice. Make it a good one for the sakes of your souls.
Get ready. Get ready now. Prepare your hearts. Repent or perish.
And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder.
Boy, we hate to hear this, don't we?
You don't believe it!
Consider the work of God. For who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? Humble yourselves again, saints. Humble yourselves again.
Keep it simple, saints. Keep it simple.
In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, keep it simple. But alas, in this day of great spiritual famine, fewer than ever care to listen to the God who pleads his controversy with his people as he did in ancient times.
Seems to me an acceptable sacrifice to God does not include holding on to your money, your possessions, your lusts, and your desires. Worldly desires. Oh, maybe it's just me.
And this bodes for a bad end today, as prophesied by the Word. A bad end.
You can smell the fear everywhere. You can feel the stress and the anxiety and the perplexity. It can't be denied.
I exhort you to return to the first love.
I exhort you to strive to enter in at that straight gate. To endure until the end.
Run to your God now and cry out for his mercy. Confess your wretchedness and your pride to him. Throw yourselves upon his mercy and once and for all turn from your sins.
If you really want truth, the truth, you better have a love for it.
Our love is for our bellies. Our love is not for selflessness and surrender to God. The Lord our God has told us that beyond the day of our calling and sanctification, we cannot serve two masters. No royal priesthood, one spoken of in 1 Peter 2:9, can serve two masters. Matthew 6:24. Yet we do.
And we are sure to be destroyed.
Game over. Game over. The sea and the waves rage.
There's a fire coming. Get ready. Get ready now. We can do nothing apart from God. God tells us he will provide for us. We come to Christ wretched, naked, blind. And where are you?
For the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord.
Money is an idol. Time is an idol. You are an idol. You sacrifice yourself to idols.
We have chosen mastery over servanthood, pride over humility, convenience over crucifixion, self over godliness, hell over holiness, and compromise over confrontation.
Jeremiah says, "Thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus they have loved to wander, they have not refrained their feet, therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins."
It's all gonna come out in the wash.
Repent!
Who are these guys jiving with their cosmic debris?
And it's still your choice.
You've been warned.
I haven't been wasting my time or kilobytes telling those who continue upon this earth that the time is very short, and shorter than most perceive. There are many out there speaking the same thing. Are we keeping our souls in these dire times, or are we just whistling Dixie?
If the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, Romans 11:16. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Is your first fruit holy?
You can't serve two masters.
Make God your priority and seek him. He is your refuge, capital R. Bear your crosses willingly and do not murmur or complain.
Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision.
Is the God of grace, the Father of Jesus Christ, ashamed of some of us? I'd say a big yep. We have become shameful, compromised specimens of true Christianity, haven't we?
True.
We've blended away our calling to chastity and purity and holiness because we haven't the guts to obey God and rely on the power he gives us to resist the world. You know, my big question is, were you really saved or called to Christ?
I don't believe anybody's going to be saved until the end.
If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are.
Beware of dogs.
Would the destruction of your eternal future count as something to be warned of if danger's near? Discern the intents of the hearts of those that warn or feed you, saints.
Discern the woof woof.
I told you all that when we do not discern the hypocritical duality of most of the ministries and the ministers of the gospel today, we're eating from two plates. Not one, two. God wants his saints and others to know the difference between his true servants and the dumb dogs. Today, we have smiling photos on websites of God's preachers and teachers and evangelists and watchmen. Smiling!
Don't tell me that's not loving.
Arms around their wives, denoting harmony and being husbands of one wife. That's facades.
Dumb!
They got the white teeth thing going, the perfect hair, and the Sunday best suits. Wow, I'm impressed, brethren. How about you? I'm took. Where do I sign?
Give me a break.
You have to be genuine, you know? You have to, brother, because you fit the mold of what a man of God should look and sound like.
Whoa. Give me a break.
We stupid, weak, spineless wimps say we're filled with the Holy Spirit, go on believing every stinking canine poser that comes down the pike.
Dogs.
They can pass gas and we'd send them a donation.
They're dirty.
His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. And guess what? We're keeping them that way.
Reject anything that has a price tag. Reject anyone that brings you anything with a price tag. That's simple.
These dumb dogs, saints, these dumb dogs calling themselves watchmen are rubbing against your leg. They're wagging their tails and their tongues are hanging out. That's what they're doing, these brethren. They're looking for scraps and they're looking for handouts for their work, quote unquote. They're salivating at the potential harvest of increase or a preeminence for themselves. Geez, it's hard to see.
Nice angle, huh?
You pay them enough, they'll do tricks for you.
Woof, woof.
You pat them on the head and you give them a little praise and heck, they'll roll over and play dead for you. I just wish they'd stay dead, but they won't. They'll do tricks. That's what you're doing, saints. You're feeding the dumb dogs and you're keeping them going and they're doing tricks for you because you want to believe them. Because you want to believe everybody's got the Lord in them. Well, you're sadly deceived.
Discern the woof woof.
I hate to go to the absolute mindset here. Absolutes again. But if you're listening to or you're supporting anyone who seeks to support themselves under the guise of their ministry, you are listening to and you are supporting dumb dogs. Bellies with large mouths.
The fruits are evident.
What lengths will Satan go to destroy the true follower of Christ? Every trick of light possible. Saints, be vigilant.
Don't be deceived, and do not fear what you see happening before you. Perfect love casteth out all fear.
The spirit realms are where our problems begin, and we often get distracted by the cares of this world and end up fighting the branches that are manifested down here and not the roots. We are exhorted as soldiers in Christ's army to focus on the warfare and our captain and our God rather than the things of this world. And how can anybody win a fight when they're two people? Praise God for 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. He's chosen his humble vessels to do so. Those that have given up worldly pursuit and intellect to pursue the excellency which is Jesus Christ.
Is God's true purpose enlightening us to every detail of prophecy? Or is it saving our miserable souls?
Why do we call ourselves humble and meek when everything about us smacks of pride in our calling or our stations? It's not about science, history, or the price of tea in China. It's about Jesus Christ crucified, risen, glorified. It's about the promise of hope and salvation at the end of our sojourn here. It's about repentance and self-sacrifice. When we are full of the Holy Ghost, we could do nothing less than present our bodies a living sacrifice, which because of the infilling of the Holy Ghost, becomes that which is holy and acceptable to God. Nothing we can offer is holy and acceptable to God. God is why we seek Him. That's why we agonize to enter in. That's why we work out our salvation. That's why we walk a narrow, restricted way toward the promise of life. That's why it's not over until the bitter, glorious end for the chosen. That's why broad and colorful is the way to destruction. And that's why there be few that find life at all.
Get on your narrow way, or walk away. Stay on that road with Jesus.
Jesus' journey down His narrow way ended at the cross for us, and then glory. His journey was sacrifice and death. Our journey is sacrifice and death to ourselves all along the way, and then ultimate victory.
How about you?
Getting tough?
The meek He will guide in judgment, and the meek He will teach His way.
Meekness, fruit, evident fruit. Where is it, saints?
Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought His judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger.
Work out your salvation, saints. Examine yourselves.
We shall be worn out.
Feeling a little worn out, saints?
Christianity today judges the true saints of God as rebels, renegades, worthy of censure, and even death. And it's happening all across the planet right now. Living a life as a pilgrim, a sojourner, is tough enough. But add to it the life of an a-denominational fugitive, and you have the stuff of truly being worn out.
The devil is wearing us out day by day, but not to our loss, to our gain, to the glory of God.
Our work is tied into the cross we bear as commanded by Jesus, our perfect master, Matthew 16:24. Don't ever forget that. We will suffer loss of all kinds on our narrow way, the real way to life. We will be buffeted, maligned and cursed, and even physically attacked. We will feel like we've been worn down to a pulp. We will be worn down to a pulp. If we're for real.
I don't know about you, but I'd rather be worn out from holding fast to the faith and crucifying the passions and wants of this life than to enter eternity having been worn out from loose living and sin and chasing after the wind.
When you're taking hits for Jesus Christ in trying to just simply get through your day, mortifying the deeds of your flesh, walking holy, you know you belong to Jesus. You're bearing the cross of your Savior. And isn't that what we've been commanded to do in Matthew 16:24?
I think so.
This life is not worth loving.
You have little time before the voices of God's servants go completely silent.
Choices are yours to make.
Think about this, saints.
Serious stuff.
The time of the Lord's visitation is near.
We do not have much time.
Let's not make our walk in Christ a game that we can quit from time to time and take up where we left off. There's no laying back, saints. Not now.
We who have chosen to follow Jesus Christ have also chosen to mortify our fears as well as our flesh.
When we desire truth and to serve our God, we make ourselves as lowly as the dust, worthy of nothing before God.
We obey God, not our bellies.
I will never cease giving Him praise and glory for His mercy.
You'd rather pose than live, huh? Okay. How weak and exceedingly deceived we have all become. Shame on us.
You can't put down a lousy remote. How are you putting your minds into submission?
Don't tell me that's not loving.
So many of us want the infilling of the gift of tongues, or prophecy, or healing.
but not that which God provides to equip us for our walk and have fellowship with God and our Father.
Spilled milk and spoiled meat.
The spirit of Antichrist has permeated our very daily existence now.
The time is at hand.
You're trailing baggage behind you.
If you have been called and have chosen to follow Jesus Christ, you have renounced worldly vain pursuits, the pleasure of your former appetites, and have won for yourself hatred from the world and true life with and in Jesus Christ. Have you?
Walk as a quiet stranger down your road with Jesus, saints.
We're not going to be here forever. Our time is short.
What's with the baggage we carry?
War is now upon us, and the world is under stresses the likes of which we haven't seen since the last World War. And it's only begun. The end has come. The enemy of our souls is pounding away at God's saints to wear them out. And you know what? He's succeeding, because God is no liar. However, what the enemy hasn't considered is that God will use vessels that are worn out, submitted to his will. We're being worn out because we are submitted to his will, and we will stubbornly and righteously stand for our God, humble and meek, and God will save them from what is coming. We are not prone to theatrics, saints. We are sober and grave and vigilant. We fear our God.
Without holiness, which is an attribute of God and a sealing sign of true regeneration, life can never be found in the here and now, nor in eternity. Think about that, please.
We're still running this race, aren't we? No time like the present to take stock in our walks and examine our own fruits for a change, eh? Every day, I say. Every turn of the road.
In our own submitted hearts, set God in the high place.
Whether saint, ungodly, or sinner, all are subject to a fully sovereign God and Creator. Nothing gets past Him.
We must return to our God.
And I ain't gonna save your soul.
Jesus went all the way to the cross for me, and I'm right behind Him. I'm a dead man any way the world looks at it. Through death shall we live who follow Christ.
Chew on that one for a week.
Get on that narrow way. Or walk away. Count the cost.
Crucify yourself.
Complete your journey.
Getting tough?
No. Don't tell me that's not loving.
Give me a break.
Boy, we hate to hear this, don't we?
It's a mess out there, saints. It's a mess.
I'm out on a limb, then.
There's nothing pretty about it.
Au contraire.
I'm glad I'm in the wilderness.
Sorry,
but I don't care.
It ain't over till it's over.
Repent!
And may God be with his saints in the fullness of his peace, his power, and his strength.
God's great blessings, his mercy, his grace, his peace, his abiding, be and remain with his saints in the name of Jesus Christ, to the glory of God.
May God's grace, mercy, and peace be upon the humble saints of the living God. In all tribulation, may he continue to receive thanks and praise and all the glory.
Saints, I want you to put both feet down, down hard in the dust of your narrow way that you walk with Jesus. I don't want you to look back. I don't want you to look to the right. I don't want you to look to the left. I want you to have a single eye in Christ. Don't take your eyes off of Jesus Christ. Let come what may. And may your love and your confident hope in Him be a praise to our God and a testament to His mercy, to the infilling of His Holy Spirit. May His will be done, and may the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of His suffering. And He has, and He will.
Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him.
Keep to the road. Travel light.
Get those shields up.
Keep to the narrow way of Jesus.
Keep to the road. You're alone on your narrow way. It gets narrower every day. It's safer that way. Keep to it.
And I pray there is a slim chance that the way might have gotten a little narrower for you.
Complete your journey.
may it end in life.
If God is willing and the creeks don't rise.
The choices are yours to make.
You have little time before the voices of God's servants go completely silent.
You've been warned.